and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 433. How are we all doing? Oh, need to get the chat up. Oh, wasn't it young Jonathan yesterday? Let me have a look and click the refresh
young
button.
Young Jonathan who fell asleep.
Yes, Rip Van Jonathan. Hey, he's first. There you go. Oh, Renee's in Eurovision mode. 12 points.
Null point.
Yeah, we'll come last. Just a prediction, Renee. Be surprised if we don't. Hello, Simon. Have I got everybody? I think I have. CQ, Deb, CQ. We're nearly at show 456. We are. We celebrated 1, 2, 3 and 2, 3, 4 and 3, 4, 5. We're getting there. Oh, 4, 3, 3. It's becoming a habit. Only a little one. Only a little habit. I was in a session earlier on my course.
That's with one up front and two out wide.
Yes.
Three midfield.
Yep. 4, 3, 3. Mike. Yep. On my course, the last time I did it, we were around the, maybe 180 mark, something like that. 180, 200, something like that. And we were filling in a form today. And the presenter said, right, you know, you've put a 9 in. Can you come in and talk about it? So I talked all about Marooned and how it happened and the fact that we've been consistent. Yes, not a word usually associated with MacBites. And I did explain that our schedule was somewhat flexible in nature. Oh, but now just get MacBites sorted out. We're almost there, Jonathan. Almost. Anyway, what time did you fall asleep last night, dear boy? What sent you to the land of Nod? I think it was fairly early. I've got to put down that there was something there. Yes, there was a follow-up from Peter last night, which I don't think you put down, did you?
What was it?
It was printing from Pathfinder.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, you see, my trusty assistant, not so trusty after all. Anyway, it works, so I'll show that next week. Oh, you think you went to sleep around 10-ish. That's a little bit early, isn't it, Jonathan? But in your defence, go on. Tell me what time you woke up. It'll be something obscene. It'll be something where I was still awake, but still obscene. I'm sure it will be. Caught up this morning, as always. You can always rely on Jonathan. And I usually remember to say good morning to you as well, Jonathan. You fell asleep right after the hello. Well, if that had have happened last night, Renee, it was a few minutes late, wasn't it? Because YouTube were having a moment. They always seem to have a moment on a Friday night. Friday and Saturday night, YouTube seems to be like, are you sure you really want to go live? And you're like, yeah, I am. We'll see. Right. Now, I need to test something because weirdness is happening. Ugh. You know when you update an app and nothing else updates and then it's that. So, I need to make sure that this will actually work. So, shall we test it and see? I've got one thing listed that I don't think I want listed. Hang on. Oh, it's there. I'm having to look around a 12.9-inch iPad. Not the 12.9-inch iPad I would like to look around, obviously. Right, have you put anything in the spreadsheet, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, jolly good.
And I've got more to put in.
You've probably got 5,000 to put in. Oh, apart from I had an email and I think it was a request, but it was blank. So I'm gonna have to ask Ellen, did she mail me? And if she did, why was it blank? Or was it an accident, one or the other? Right, theme, if you did not know for tonight, it's Lucky Penny Day. That's the one, isn't it? Yeah. Lucky Penny
tomorrow's
Day.
Tomorrow's Lucky Penny Day.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. Well, tomorrow's Lucky Penny Day. So the theme is luck and money. That does not limit you in much ways at all. Oh, I'm liking the opening one, Mike. I do love the Pet Shop Boys. Do you know you could have another one from them?
Pet Shop Boys?
Mm-hmm.
Could I?
Yeah.
I'll stick it in.
To do with money. Trouble with the Pet Shop Boys is it's very 80s, isn't it? I think you either love them or you loathe them.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see what's going on over here. Oh, hello, Kim. In a Zoom meeting. Well, never mind. We're here.
I'll say hello. A Zoom meeting.
I'll say hello to Kim. in the chat, just in case she can't actually hear us and she's just in the chat. So there we go. That's actually done. Excellent. Right. What have we got now? Awake at 7. Good grief. You had enough sleep then, Jonathan. Oh, 11 points. Renee's lost a point somewhere. This is going to be great. There is only one song, Money by Pink Floyd. Right, we'll put that
it's
in.
It's already in the list.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who requested that?
I can't remember. But somebody did.
Everything's going to pot here, Mike. All of the formatting and everything.
Right, I'll deal with it.
All right, Moody Pants.
Dealing with other things.
Let's have a look again. No points. Yeah, that's much more us. Pink Floyd. Let me see if I can find Pink Floyd in the list. There's Pink Floyd. It was John and Petrina. Why don't we give them... was that one of their trios or was that...
Has it got trio against it? Was it in the big
no,
list?
No, it's really... It's low down on line 6.
In that case, it's one of their here's some more suggestions for you.
Right, well, let's move it right up to the top. And then we can play that at number 4. There we go. But I need to make sure that this is actually working. So do you guys want to be part of an experiment? If you can't hear what I'm about to play, then I've got problems later. So let's try that one. Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd artist. Right, let's have a look at that. And what do we have of theirs? Oh, there we go. There's lots of different versions of this. Let me pick a workable one. How about the 2011 remastered version from The Dark Side of the Moon? Jonathan, I'm loving you. 6 minutes. 6 minutes, 23 seconds.
Oh, that's plenty of time for the toilet. Then,
that's what we
it?
Call a toilet yeah. tune here. Right. Tell me if you can hear it. I think we can hear that. Toilet tune, that needs a jingle. It does. I'll have to get on to Kaz. Right, could you hear that? Yay, excellent. It had all gone wrong. There was an update to the app, and obviously the app we use is hooked up to everything else, so it wasn't working, basically. So I had to rewire it on the fly. Would have been nice if I'd remembered to do that before we went live broadcasting, wouldn't it? But I was a bit on the busy side. Anyway, I'm fine now. Because we still have sessions in this course on a Saturday, you know. I know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But we do. So I had a 5 o'clock that stretched on to 25 to 7. And what an 8 o'clock as well. That one's going to be interesting, isn't it? I have it on one screen, you see. And I need live subtitles. That's what I need. So what's everybody been up to? Hello, Tracy. Tracy is in the house. I don't think we'll get any points at all. Sorry, come by in WhatsApp. Oh, anyway, Renee has something to share with you. Wasn't I fabulous in Facebook? That took some doing, trust me. I'll leave Renee to tell you what I was up to in Facebook. Oh, Megan Trainor, I like her, Mike. I do. She's good.
Tracy, that message you sent me, was it a private one?
You'll just ask publicly if that was a private
Or can
message.
I give you the answer here on a public radio show?
Oh, Mike, don't be naughty. Right, let's move these around. So I'm going to start.
No, it's
with
a very innocuous question, but you never know with
you
Tracy.
You never know.
She might be planning something.
She could be plotting and planning.
Yes.
Oh, indeed. Got it.
Right, it was mushroom pizza, not mushroom burger.
Oh, it was. I love those.
So basically, you take a big mushroom, like a portobello mushroom, lop off the stalky thing, then you stick it upside down and grill it for a few minutes. Then you turn it over. You fill the actual mushroom with some... what's it called? Tomato paste.
If there isn't a worldwide shortage.
That was very worldwide shortage.
Making sure you have stockpiled all ingredients early.
And then some cheese. So I've been using
mozzarella.
And then we've been sticking on some chopped up
pepper
and tomato. And if we've got any, we'll stick some bacon on as well.
Oh, that's nice. That is
but
nice.
But we didn't have any bacon this week because we'd used the bacon on Sunday for the full English. And then we'd done chicken in bacon. So the six slices of bacon have been used up.
Darn it. Never mind. It's all right, Tracy. I have even processed last night's show. Oh, I just need the title.
Tracy says the internet's gone down.
Internet's not gone down here, luckily.
She got as far as take the stalk off, right?
Don't worry. I can process today's show. And as long as we've all got a title for it, it could be with you faster than you think.
Mushroom stalks. Stalking mushrooms.
Stalking mushrooms.
Stalking mushrooms.
Right, that's quite happy now.
Stick it on your Johnny board.
It's on my Johnny board.
Right.
This has actually become known as the Johnny board. It's now its official title, Jonathan. Play. He's talking to the dog, not me. Don't panic. Oh, Renee says, I was brilliant. It was the best Dutch sentence you ever saw you write. It's the only Dutch sentence I've ever written, but yay, I'll take that. I was very careful. I triple-checked everything. Now, don't get down to the nuances of grammar, obviously, if the words were right and in the right order. I'll take that. I was quite happy with that. Oh, what I'll get him to do, Tracy, now he's disappeared, right? It's going on the Johnny board, which is like the new post-it notes. This will then happen. Right. So if I say, right, we've got on the MacBytes site, it was the MacBytes Magic Flapjack. Mike's Magic MacBytes Flapjack. So we do already have a recipe section. So I think we should stick that on there. Mind you, then we might get into trouble with MacBytes and Bites and McDonald Bites and stuff. But we've been going for 14 years. So I think we've earned the right to put a recipe up if we want. So I'll get him to put that there. Write it down, Mike. We've all got TechSniper bought into copy and OCR. TechSniper's fabulous. Oh, it is. It is a good app. That is a good app. Picatex was pretty good, and then I moved to Snagit, as you know. But Snagit's just not as fast. You know, Snagit's got to do the processing, open the app, then show you the window, and then you've got to click copy all. So, no, just stick with TechSniper. Tracy's quite happy there. Recipe section, brilliant. Well, we also had some other flapjacks we wanted to do, all gluten-free. And I do recall that an order was placed for the stuff, and then... Obviously, there isn't a minute's peace here. But if it's still there, I do believe there were sultanas involved in a different kind of flapjack, and which I quite fancy. So I'll get him on that. Oh, it could be a late birthday treat. I'll get him on that. So yes, let's have a recipe section. Good preparation for when you two visit us. Actually, we're allowed at the moment to go to Spain. We're just not allowed to come home. Did I mention Boris in charge of the country? Come on, Simon, let's have a Borisism. You can leave the country and go to Spain. But they're on the amber list, I believe. So when you come back, you've got to pay for your test, your lateral flows. And I think it's before you leave. And when you get back, and then you have to self-isolate, if not quarantine. And they've got now thousands were mentioned, that the figure 11,000 was mentioned. People coming round, knocking on your door, making sure that you're self-isolating. And I thought, really, this is a job now, is it? But apparently that's what's happening, particularly in relation to the fact that the schools have just finished for their WIT holiday. And the parents are taking the little kiddies away. And I thought, are you stupid? Because in the next breath, they're saying, oh, our children are so far behind because they've missed out on education. Well, why don't you stay here for 2 weeks and teach them what they've missed? There's a concept. But no, they think taking them abroad and sunning themselves is a good idea, which will be grand until they get back from their 2 weeks holiday, which is the 2 weeks the schools are off. And then they have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. So then they'll miss two more weeks at school. Anybody else seeing the flaw in the logic of these parents? Because I certainly am. But that's what's happening, apparently. And we've all just got to smile and say, yes, but holidays are so important. That they might be, but, you know, there's something not adding up here. Either the kids were having a jolly when they weren't at school, in which case they don't need another one. If the kids weren't having a jolly, then how are they behind? Because they were working. So whichever way you look at it, can you tell them I'm a trained lawyer? I can argue this either way. Either way, they're in the wrong. Yeah, that works nicely. Oh, Australia's on our green list. They just won't let us in when we get there. That's so true. I had a friend write to me and say that great friends of theirs, they've been friends with this couple for like 30 years. Their daughters both emigrated not long before the lockdown. And the plan was they'd go visit. Well, obviously, that's not happened. Now they're heading up to retirement. They decided they waited until all the rollout of the plan was settled. So by this date, we can do this. And by that date, we can do that. And they handed in their notices at work, ready to emigrate. All the paperwork was done. Everything was sorted. House up for sale. You know, them retiring and moving out there. To be with it, well, to be at least closer to one of the daughters and, well, the closer to both of them, obviously, but within, like, visiting distance of one of them. When the rug got pulled from under them, and they now can't go, and they can't go until at least 2022, which means they've got no jobs and they've sold the house. So with 10 days' notice, they got told that wasn't happening. That is so bad. So, so bad. And another year of Zoom instead with their daughters and the grandchildren. That is bad. So bad. Right. Let's have a look here. So one day, Tracy, when they'll let us back in the country. I don't know what's happening with it. That everything's just up in the air, isn't it? I'm sick of thinking about it. It'll either work out or it won't work out. No, either way, that's fine. Right. We saw flapjacks in... I don't know, Nana Hussain. Is this the woman that won Bake Off or something? Is it that one? Do you know that my abiding memory of those alleged cooking programmes on the BBC was my mum used to watch them. She was always up early, my mum, early riser. And she would watch the thing. By the time we got up, they were at the end where they were doing the omelette thing, the omelette challenge. Oh, it just got worse every week. It was like, here's an egg, waft it over the pan, right, it's cooked, it's an omelette. And you're like, oh no. It was vile. No way should that have been consumed. So that's my abiding memory of those programmes. Nadia, that's the one. Nadia, yes, I know her as Nadia. I only know the first name. Now you've reminded me what her second name is. A bongoism, you mean? Yes, we need a Simon Bongoism. You know Boris. That man is playing with our mind. Mind you, there's not much in the newspapers at the moment other than the Diana interview fiasco. So Boris has been let off the hook for the last 2 days now. It's been wall to wall, William going mental and Harry baring his soul. And there is nothing else on the front of the papers. That's it. So Kim's out of the Zoom meeting. Interesting. History, patriotism and veterans. It sounds fabulous. What we tend to have here is the historical societies. Nina goes to one. I've not been. But it did sound fascinating. And just as I was thinking, you know, might go to one of those. Lockdown happened and I didn't. It sounds similar to that. Oh, Kim loves Bake Off. I don't think I've ever seen an episode. It got a bit competitive for my liking. But we do get wall-to-wall coverage in the papers of that. Well, we did when it was on the BBC. Less so now it's on, is it Channel 5? Channel 4 or 5? The show is a lot longer because there's a lot of adverts in it. I just think it was a BBC show. And sometimes when a show moves from one channel to another, it just doesn't really work very well. But that one's not done bad considering, you know, lockdown summer and heading into another. Not done bad. So I do see the results, but that's only because it's all over the place. Usually because somebody has spilt the results early. Didn't one of the presenters do that once? Oh, you'd think they'd know better. Apparently, they were in a different time zone and they tweeted out congratulations to the winner before the show had actually aired in the UK. That went bad. Very bad. If the princes want to blame anyone, they should start with their dad. I'm no huge fan of his, I can assure you, Simon. That man was a complete idiot. From day one, when he said, when they asked the question, are you in love? And he said, yes, of course, whatever that means. It's like, hello, red flag, flying right there. And he was in love, just not with the one who was his wife at the time. But, you know, she was so young. You look back, when they got engaged, she was 20. That, I look now and I think, good grief. You know, at 20, should we raise the age that you get married to about 40? Because by then you might just know what you're doing, but 20. And she had such a nice little life between leaving school and starting going out with him, where she was actually happy. But I think that was all for about 2 years, and that was it. It's a sad, sad story, and it's a shame that it is still rumbling on and affecting her children in that way. But I'd have to say they are. When Harry says, like, I don't know the actual words, but the gist of it was, they're a bit cold, weren't they? They weren't much help. He was abandoned. You know, you can see that. They don't even try to hide it. But our British papers are like, oh, the monarchy, amazing. The Queen, fine. But it stops there. There was one thing that happened when Diana died. Apart from all the flag, there was no flag flying at half mast and they didn't bother coming back. And she didn't make a statement, all the rest of it. There was just one thing as you went a little bit further on. And that was, on the day of the funeral, they told the boys they weren't allowed to cry. Their mum had just died, but they weren't allowed to cry. Anyway, a good few months later, maybe about, she died in August, didn't she? I don't think it would have been December, so maybe it was as much as 6 months later. But a few months later, the royal yacht, and I'm assuming it, going back, I mean, I know what happened, the bit that stuck with me, but I think it was the Royal Yacht Britannia, was being, whatever, retired, whatever the proper word is, Kim will know this, but whatever the proper word is for retiring a ship, it was being retired. And they were all lined up saying goodbye to this ship, which was fair enough, you know, their ship. And there was Princess Anne, who's usually totally stoic, crying. I thought, it's a boat, love. Diana was a person. Whether you liked her or not, she was mum to two children. And she died. And you're stood there crying over a boat. That's our royal family for you. But that, I think some people might have mentioned it, but it's certainly gone off into the realms of history and no one's talking about it now. But when you think of the royal family being cold, that's the kind of thing, if you are aware of it, that happening, that you think about. And you think, you've told, how old was Harry? Harry was 12.
I think he was 13.
He was 12.
He was 12.
His birthday's in September. So Harry was 12 and William was 15. And they were told not to cry, and they didn't, either of them. But she did, over a boat. Yeah, so I'm with Simon. the omelette challenge was on Ready, Steady, Cook, was it?
Oh, the omelette challenge.
The one I'm thinking of, that wouldn't have been Ready, Steady, Cook, was that, oh, what's her name? Fern Britton. And who did she marry because of divorce now? He was a chef. Can't remember his name, no idea. But she was married to a chef and she presented the show. Yeah. But no, the one I'm thinking of, it was the Saturday morning one. I didn't, was that?
Saturday Morning Kitchen.
Saturday Tony Morning Martin. Kitchen, that's the one. Guess who's got chicken and knows what to do with him? what is up with the Bashir interview? All you've heard is that he caused her death with the interview, and I don't understand it at all. Oh, right. Oh, decommissioned, that's the one. Yeah, that. I had a word in my head, but I knew it wasn't that one. Scuppered. They didn't sink it, it just retired. Okay, it was decommissioned. There you go, it was. Okay, the Bashir thing. Diana was, they always said that she was paranoid. But just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. And if you think about what happened later, where he is actually with the other woman and all the rest of it, then no, she wasn't paranoid. She was just aware, very aware. But there was more than Camilla in his life, because at the time Camilla was actually married with children of her own and still with her husband. There was other people that were around Charles like flies round a smiling pile of poo. One of them was it Tiggy Leg Bork? I think her name was...
Yeah, wasn't she the not maid?
Nanny to the
nanny.
Kids.
Yeah, nanny.
Yeah. Tiggy Leg Bork. Anyway, Diana got it in her head that she was having it away with Charles. Whether that was true or not, no idea. No idea whatsoever. Anyway, Martin Bashir wanted the interview with her, so he was playing on her paranoia. And he had a graphic designer mock up some bank statements that showed that there was money coming out of an account and going to a private hospital for an abortion that was allegedly to be Tiggy Leg Bork. Which, like I say, we've no idea if this is true or not, because if it was true, surely he would have had the originals and he wouldn't have needed to mock up this thing to kind of play on her paranoia. And another part of what she had to say was that there was somebody who worked at the estate, the family estate, for her brother, Charles Spencer, who was selling stories. And the second set of bank statements that were mocked up confirmed that. They were shown to Charles Spencer. And then obviously conversations were had between Diana and Charles, her brother. Most annoying, they're both called Charles. And she then decided she would give the interview. But according to Charles Spencer, it was given on the basis it would be about her charities. In the December after the interview, and the interview did like, I mean, it was the biggest TV event ever over here. Just the fact that she was actually going to talk was stunning. And she then wrote a letter in December when this investigation started to say that she had never seen these bank statements. So there was an investigation and nothing came of it because, you know, she said nothing to do with me. And the BBC covered their own backsides. And then what I don't understand is why has it come up now? You know, on what basis has this now become a huge thing where everyone's getting the police involved?
Because
and stuff?
Wasn't there an investigation that was coming out this week? There was a BBC investigation.
Yes, I know, but what caused that?
I don't know.
I know Charles Spencer wanted it to happen and Prince William wanted it to happen. I'm assuming Harry as well. But I just wondered how it gained the momentum it did to actually happen. Because there's a lot of talk about things, but then they don't actually happen. But she was then ostracised from the royal family because of that. So because she'd done the interview, she was stripped of her HRH when they got divorced. But after that, I think she then turned down. She turned down or they withdrew her security. So she was on her own, basically. And that was how she was when she was in Paris. She had no personal security. The security was provided by the Al-Fayeds. And we all know how that ended. So that's the boy's take on it. I personally think that's a bit of a reach. She was paranoid about their security, as anybody would be. You know, if you've been in that situation, and we've heard about it from Diana's perspective, and now we've heard about it from Meghan's perspective, that is what happens. We even heard it in an autobiography of Cherie Blair. This one's a classic. This was actually in her autobiography. You know, they had three children, and I think the youngest was maybe about 13 when Tony Blair became Prime Minister. She was back working as a barrister. She was a QC, Queen's Counsel. No intention of having any more family. But they had been to Balmoral to spend some time with the Queen in one of the summers. And Cherie Blair realised that when you arrive, your luggage is taken off you and it's taken to your room. Well, that happens in hotels, doesn't it? So no problem with that. But they take it a step further and they unpack it for you and put all of the stuff, whatever's in your luggage, they put it in the furniture for you, all the drawers and the wardrobes, which is fine, you know. But
if they did that with us, it'd be, how many iPads? How many chargers?
I know, and, you know, I would be worried about my tech, so you're quite right. I would be worried about my tech. But I'd have bigger problems. I do not particularly want people to be meandering through my smalls. That's too personal. You know, hanging up a dress is one thing. But no, there are things that you would not want people meandering through. So when they went back another year to Balmoral, she took a decision which changed their lives, which was, and I have no idea what she meant by this, but she said her contraceptive paraphernalia, which obviously was in the suitcase the year before. We have no detail on what the contraceptive paraphernalia was. That's a good title. But whatever it was, it bothered her that much, and I can understand that, that she decided not to take it with her. She didn't want other people playing with it. Oh, you can't make it up, this, can you? So she didn't take it with her. And then when she got back, a couple of months later, she realised she was pregnant. And that was how Leo Blair was conceived. So can you imagine Diana? Nothing was private. Nothing. She had not a second to herself or any kind of peace. So I can understand she was paranoid. But I still say it's not paranoid if people are going through your drawers. And she smiles, literally. Literally doing that. I just think that that's a royal thing. I mean, it goes back to, was it around the time of Henry VIII, but don't quote me. Very, very far back. It was a rule that, there were two rules. One was on a wedding night. So a prince, a queen, you know, princess, whatever. When they get married, somebody had to be in the room with them. While it was, there is a word for that as well, isn't there?
Oh, performed the act.
Well, yes, but there is a word, isn't there?
Dogging.
It was a royal early form of dogging, you're quite right. But to
I just
make
thought
sure
of getting there before Simon did.
To make sure that the deal was sealed, as it were. And you're like, really? And another
consummated.
One, consummated, that's the word. Yes, consummated. Everybody else knows the words. You see, I know what's coming with the story and it puts me right off. And another one was, and this was so until Catherine gave birth to George, I think, that you have to have somebody in the room when they're having the baby as well. Actually, just they're not doing anything. They just sit and watch. I don't know if there's a name for this person, and I don't know if they're actually medical or not. But basically, they have to be there as like part of the royal household to make sure that you're not doing the old bait and switch. Make sure that the person who's supposed to be pregnant does actually give birth to the child and that there is no bait and switch. I know you couldn't make this up, could you? And that happened. Now, obviously nowadays, you know, men are present. But many moons ago, it was always a kind of midwife thing and the doctors were kind of kept out of it. It was more of a female thing, wasn't it? But royalty always had to have this person who was male there just to check, and they would stand and watch. I mean, can you imagine? No, I can't. Trust me, I can't on that. That's bad. But I think the whole royal world fed her paranoia. And I don't think she was paranoid without reason. I think if she was paranoid, it was paranoid with reason. Poor woman. I'm liking the fact that the three come in with the consummated. And it's all the ladies. Yes, they stood and they watched to make sure that the marriage was consummated. Now, the reason for that was a legal practicality or technicality in this country. If you get married and you sign the register, then technically speaking, at that point, you are married. So once you've done your bit in front of the priest or your rabbi or whoever, you still have to go in our case, it would be the sacristy. And there is the registrar is there with the book, and you're not actually married until you sign on the dotted line. But if the marriage is not consummated, you can prove that the marriage is not consummated, then you can just get rid of it. Never happened at all. You wouldn't be a divorcee. It would just be annulled as never having happened.
That happened to somebody in our family.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very rare. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Very rare. The only time I've heard of it causing a problem, and I thought this was absolutely disgusting, but you know my opinions on the Catholic Church, and I'm allowed to have opinions on the Catholic Church because, hey, I'm Catholic. Would be totally wrong to have an opinion on the Jewish faith. But there is a thing in Catholicism that there's a, well, you are assumed to be going to breed for a start. But there is a thing that if you're marrying out, so you're marrying someone who's not Catholic, they have to sign on the dotted line to say that the children will be brought up Catholic. So they're very keen on with this. Let's just put it like that. Very keen on. But this couple went to get married. And I wish I had been a fly on the wall at this conversation. Because it... What are you doing now? And can you do it quietly? Give it here. Honestly, Lola, have you not had enough?
She hasn't. She's sniffing in the bag.
Oh, we're
the
starving,
blue bag,
are we?
The blue bag.
Right, there we go. You have one sausage and I'll have the other.
Right.
Right, so this couple went to the priest wanting to get married. And the priest actually said to them, you are capable of having children, aren't you? Because if you're not, I can't marry you. And you're like, pardon? And the reason that he'd asked the question, because I don't think that is a question that would normally be asked, was that the lady was in a wheelchair and he didn't think that maybe she could have children. And if she couldn't have children, he wouldn't marry them. That would be the door off the hinges straight away, as far as I was concerned, as I bounded my way out of the place. That's just too invasive. But that's what royalty's like. Everything is invasive. They check the sheets. Oh, no, just too much information. That is bad. He's pretty sure he'd kick them out. It's obscene, isn't it? I mean, whoever thought that was a good idea even back in the day? I mean, we all know what people say about Harry and his father. And when I say his father, I'll leave that up to you. If anyone has seen James Hewitt, you might know what I'm talking about. I think Simon did. Simon has seen James Hewitt, haven't you? Why didn't they like dating Jodie Alfired? I don't think they'd have wanted her dating anybody, but they certainly didn't like his father, as Simon says. And his father was such a go-getting character in terms of, you know, he wanted Harrods and he was going to get it no matter what. Which, that's up to him, that's a business side of it. But no, they did not approve of the family at all. There is a picture doing the rounds of her on that holiday. And again, I don't know how true this is and no one will ever find out because of what happened after. But there's a picture. She's in, I think it's like a full swimsuit and she looks pregnant. She really does look pregnant. Let's have a look and see if I can find it. Miss Diana. Let's see if I can find it. Was it that one? That's not the biggest picture of that, but someone's highlighted it. They've handily highlighted it for us, which is quite handy of them. So let's put that one up, see if we can find a bigger one. Now, the reason that we'll never know is on the way to taking her to the hospital, they stopped, I think it was for 3 hours. Whereas normally it's like get them to the hospital as soon as. When she did get to the hospital and was declared that she was dead, they then embalmed her. No autopsy, no nothing. They just embalmed her. But only half of her, from the waist down. Which was a weird thing. But that's what happened. There must be a bigger picture than that, surely. Oh, there's another one. Now, you know how skinny Diana was. I mean, she was like a walking clothes peg. There's a better one. There we go. Here you go. There we go. Could she just have eaten a meal? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But let's say she didn't make it home. And she did love children. And she always said she wanted a daughter. So I have no idea. But yes, it's all reared its ugly head again. Which is most unfortunate right now. Because there's some kind of statue that they're going to unveil. This has been talked about for years. I mean, obviously, it's 24 years since she died. And they're still talking about it now. We had some kind of memorial put in, I think it was Hyde Park. And it was like a fountain that you walked in. So instead of being a fountain that's like in one place, it was like a little track. And I looked at it and I thought, that looks like a death trap. The children were supposed to play in it and it was like a sensory pool. And I don't think it had been open 3 days before three people had had an accident and they closed it. And I thought, oh, I was quite right then. It was the death trap it looked. And there's been nothing since, but they have commissioned one and it's going to be installed and unveiled shortly. And Harry is supposed to be coming back for it. Now, I think it must be the back end of the summer, possibly in August, the anniversary, because obviously Meghan's pregnant and he isn't going to leave her again. So it'll rumble on until then. I'm telling you, it will rumble on for ages, this. Right, let's have a look up here. Oh, Tracy heard that too. In this case, the bloke was a paraplegic. But I mean, it's wrong, isn't it? It should be about love and spending a life with someone. Not just a kind of perfunctory, you must breed and you must extend this faith. That's just wrong. If somebody can't, so what? So what? And some people choose not to. But it's that's too invasive for me, I can assure you. We actually have a thing here, don't we? What's that thing called? The marriage thing you're supposed to do before you get married. Like a course.
Yeah, so it's what John Hamilton was...
I know, but does it have a name? It's not official. It's just something that's done here, isn't it?
Yeah.
They won't marry you unless you've been through this course. And one of the things that I did see on it was, do you really know what it's like to be with the other person? And obviously, Mike and I, 29 years. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Marriage preparation.
Marriage preparation. Yeah. An official marriage preparation thing.
Being to their website.
I was shocked that was still a thing. I thought, what decade are we in? What millennium are we
in? If you're thinking of getting married or are specially designed, thought-provoking and fun marriage preparation courses, will equip you with insights and know-how, clarity and confidence to avoid the pitfalls and build for the best possible future together. We offer four options delivering equally excellent but different experiences. Please be aware you'll need to be over 18 to access our services.
Now that's ridiculous. You can get married at 16 in the UK. You need parental consent or a court order, but you can get married.
Focus anywhere. This is a bespoke questionnaire-based exploration of your relationship expectations, provided for individual couples over 2 to 6 one-hour sessions, just the two of you, and a skilled facilitator using Zoom. Yeah, unfortunately, we know who the facilitators are.
When you say skilled, they don't mean skilled. Yeah. No, they don't.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The resource was planned by Focus Inc., an apostolate of the Archdiocese of Omaha, and is suitable for couples planning to marry in the Catholic Church. Upon completion, you'll be provided with a certificate to show your priest as verification of attendance on this approved marriage preparation program. Preparing together anywhere. Unfortunately, this course does not have availability at the moment. I presume that's because it's face-to-face.
Oh, dear God, if anything's going to put me off getting married, it's that.
But it's delivered over weekly sessions of 90 minutes over 3 consecutive weeks and is suitable for couples planning to marry in the Catholic Church, blah, blah, blah.
There's 3 weeks I'll never get back.
There's another one, which is face-to-face, bespoke questionnaire-based exploration of your unique relationship.
Can you imagine sitting there and discussing your relationship with somebody else? Shouldn't you be talking to each other?
And then there's the preparing together, one day face-to-face, skills-oriented group course. I come by our session.
No. Skills-based, Matt. You're learning skills. Oh, what are skills? Do you know, the more I read about this garbage,
awarded an imprimatur from Cardinal Vincent Nichols, and upon completion, they'll provide couples with a certificate to show your priest. Read one of our client's stories here.
Now, you know what I need to do at that point, don't you? Because that is so not happening. I need the name of Martin Bashir's faker.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can say to the priest, yeah, I got that. Been there, done that, got that. That is utterly ridiculous.
Go and see the priest where you live before making any arrangements for the wedding reception. He'll explain what you have to do, the paperwork that needs to be completed, and agree the marriage preparation resource, i.e. marriage care. Secondly, your priest will ask you to obtain a copy of your baptismal certificate that is not more than 6 months old and a copy of your confirmation certificate. He'll want the same from your other half if he, she is a baptised Christian. Blah, blah, blah. You and your partner will also have to go to the register office to get a certificate to allow you to get married. You cannot get married without this blue form.
Ah! Oh, good grief, it's blue. That's handy. It'll match the Viagra order. Honestly, there are no words, are there?
There we go.
There you go. Simon's incredulous. I literally can't believe what I'm hearing. Read the marriage course. Well, you're not getting married without it, Simon. Not in a Catholic church. Like I said, Gretna's looking more appealing by the second, isn't it? And I love Scotland. It'd be grand, that.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I read so well. Not as well as you, apparently.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I went in a session today, and I'll tell you about that later anyway. Poor Simon. Simon now needs to sit down. Oh, Tracy had to go to classes before marriage. But that was because we weren't confirmed. Well, I am confirmed, and so are you. You had the whole lot all at once, yeah, didn't you? Yeah, Mike had the first, the second, and the booster, yeah, all rolled into one. But still, that's not enough, apparently. You should take the Zoom course, get the certificate, and freak out the Catania friends. Oh, Kim, yes, that would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, because that way, you're halfway there. Oh, yeah. But I just think, you know, I can't imagine, because I've never done anything like that, I can't imagine sitting down and discussing a private relationship with other people. What has it got to do with you? If I've got a problem with Mike, I'm going to sit down and talk to Mike about it.
And she does.
And I do on a frequent basis. Yes. And then you do. Oh, I'm getting the eyeball now. There are times you've given me a talking to. You know, those days you've been incredibly brave. If Mike had a sticker, Mike was brave in the house today. I don't know anybody as happy as we are. And I don't need a marriage course to prove it. I'm with Simon. You hear it and you think, is it 1100 and they've asked for their marriage course back? I remember reading one thing and it actually gave you like detail of like, and we'll sit down with you and we'll discuss things like what it would be like to live together and would you be able to share the space? And I'm like, yes.
Well, we had 13 months of that in lockdown.
Oh, 15 months now, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and we're still here. We're still here. Oh. The Catholic Church is very big on training. Yeah, I think the thing is as well, you obviously have to pay for this. So it begins to sound like, I'm always very suspicious when there's like a certification in something. And you're like, well, who's giving the certification and how much money are they making from it? Because it's like a license to print money. And I do think with that, Lola's not keen. Have you heard her? She is not keen. They wouldn't touch Lola. She's had puppies and she's not married. Didn't do the course. Had puppies without doing the course. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm with Tracy. It does sound pornographic, doesn't it? They're going to guide you through the practicalities of wedded bliss. Please don't. My mind can't take it. Oh, Renee never had training, but you married nevertheless. Exactly. I don't think training could do you any good. You're either going to be too loved up to take any notice. So if like you are 18, too loved up to take any notice, it'd be like, yep, I'm going to be fine. Or you've been with each other that long, like Mike and I, that's like, yeah, we could probably deliver the course, but we're not going to, because that's too invasive. But yeah, it's a thing that you have to do. Our priest is possibly a little bit more flexible than most, but he's desperate for weddings. He loves a wedding. He does love a wedding. Some priests love the baptism thing, but no, our priest loves a wedding. But the other one across town, oh yeah, you would have to do this course in triplicate. You would have to pass with flying honours. Trust me on that. Yeah, not
I've
happening.
I've just seen Tony says, at my previous church, you had to do an 8-week course, men in a men's group, women in a women's group. Which takes me on to my story.
Go on.
Of today.
Go on.
Well, you've heard it, I told you. As you all know, because I mentioned it a few times, this morning and yesterday, I was part of the tech team that were running the Catania conference. We did it Zoom-based this year, for obvious reasons. Anyway, one of the guys started his presentation by saying, and remember, this is, you know, the Catanians, so it is a bloke's organisation. But for the last few years, there has been a big thing about getting ladies as members. But I think, being cynical, it's because membership is going down the drain and they're trying to boost numbers.
Don't really want the women.
That's just the cynical me. So he says, And be aware that a lot of the ladies were actually on the conference, either in their own right logged in or sitting at the same device watching this Zoom. He says, I've been reliably informed that a good presentation should be like a mini skirt, short enough to keep your attention, but long enough to cover the bare essentials.
And that was when he kicked off.
So somebody in the chat, because we had a Zoom chat open, said, my wife is listening to this and says the joke, in quotes, about miniskirts is misogynist. And what century is this organisation in? And I went back to him. I didn't tell you that. I went back to him and said, totally agree.
That is inappropriate.
Very inappropriate. Particularly if they're trying to get women involved as members.
I think that's one of the things, though, you know, when we talked about, you know, what's wrong with having the women there. I think that is one of the problems that the men want. The men, there is a percentage of men who find nothing wrong in that whatsoever. Which, you know, actually, the things I've heard at presentations, that's probably one of the least offensive. There was one presentation I went to. Do you remember the one with the bad language?
Yeah.
This guy just
effed. Because we complained, didn't we?
He effed his way through it. And I wrote and I complained.
Not a letter.
No, he wouldn't put a stamp on it. No. He just effed his way through it. Effing this, effing that. Everything was effing, all the way through it. And I remember thinking, have I come in at the wrong reel? You know, you can't do that. But so I wrote this email and got a message back like, that's his style. Suck it up. So I thought, okay, fair enough. But another one that I didn't attend, thankfully, but I did hear about was, you know, one of these, there's actually a phrase for it now, toxic masculinity. He was doing this presentation, so it was one of the glitterati, but was very, very in your face, toxic masculinity, forcing it down your throat. There were ladies there, but not many. It was a tech conference. But there was a big room full of people. So you're looking at maybe 1,000 people in this room. And he starts putting some slides up. And on these slides, you know, it starts off reasonable. And then on these slides, for whatever the reason, and I have no recollection of what that was, there were some pornographic slides. And I mean pornographic. There was no way of escaping that this was pornographic. You'd have to have been, trust me, it was pornographic. And one of these ladies in the audience thought, this is a bit inappropriate. And she looked round and she could see the other ladies and some were like squirming a bit, like, this is a bit, you know, no, not acceptable, this. But none of them moved until she decided, you know, if it was a one-off slide, she was like, that's not good. But she was prepared to let it go. When the slides moved on and there was more of the same, she decided she would leave. She didn't complain. She didn't say a thing. She didn't stick her hand up, you know, or whatever feedback mechanism they have. She just decided she would quietly get up and leave the room. And she was about halfway back. So she eyed up where the exit was and she stood up and she just very quietly, you know, packed up quietly and moved to the door. So she was heading for the door just to leave. And the speaker spotted her and said, excuse me, where are you going? Why are you leaving? And he pushed the point with her. And I thought, good grief. Can you imagine that you were of a sensitive disposition and you didn't want to speak in front of people? You didn't want to say why. He totally challenged her. So she said, I'm not comfortable with your slides, but I wouldn't have drawn attention to it. I'm just quietly choosing to leave. And rather than letting it go at that, no, he carried on. And he said, if you can't take that, then you're not up to the job. Man up. At which point all the other ladies got up and walked out and half the men.
You can't say man up these days.
You're not allowed to say that at all. Well, there again, but I wouldn't put pornography on the slides either myself.
True.
Bad news.
Anyway, in the other chat that started in by request,
yep,
I could sing. If I was a rich man,
I'm heading back up the chat here because there's a question and I don't think we answered it.
Five and a half minutes.
I know. Where's it gone? It was a question from Simon. So if you spot Simon in there. Got stuff jumping all over here. Right, there we go. Let's move that out of the way so I can see this question from Simon. Right. It's not the priests who aren't allowed to marry who run these courses, is it? Or can priests marry now? No, well, oh, that's a tricky one, that, Simon. That is indeed.
They can't marry once they're a priest.
There's a couple of machinations going on with that. If you are a Church of England priest and you are married and you convert to be Catholic, then obviously you can stay married. So it's possible that a parish could have a married priest and be Catholic, but they would have to have been Church of England first and got married and then converted to Catholicism, which many, many of them did. And the big turning point for that was when they ordained women in the Church of England. And if you didn't like it, then you could become Catholic and bring your wife with you. And I know, it's ridiculous. But that's the first way it could be done. The second way it could be done is if you are not in the UK, because there are certain countries in the world where priests are allowed to marry. So particularly out in Africa and all of the African countries. And the rationale of that is if they don't allow the priests to marry, then there won't be any priests. But in the UK, Ireland, most of Europe, the rest of the world, no, you're not supposed to be married, no. So you wouldn't be allowed to marry. I have wondered about Catholic priests who converted to Church of England, got married and then converted back, which we call a conversion of convenience when they want to get married. And yet they are allowed to get away with it.
Johnny's already in the other chat.
It's shocking. Johnny needs to be first in the other chat.
He's so, not Tony's Tony
It's
P.
either the priests who run the course, Simon, or it's a deacon. And a deacon can be married, but again, you would have to be married before you became a deacon. If you become a deacon and then you want to get married, you've got to leave. There's so many stupid rules, isn't there? Oh, Renee's been married 22 years in June. We could conduct the training. Do you not have to check with Mrs. Renee first? Oh, I think it's utterly ridiculous. It is. Men sometimes do say the darndest things. I don't think I would have been 100% offended by that comment. There are things that were much worse, like the pornography. But I would have thought it was wholly inappropriate, just in the circumstances. Wholly inappropriate. And I think I should have known it. I mean, I have heard it before. And I would write it off as like the guy's nervous. But then maybe they should think about getting some training in presenting. Today I was put on the spot, the thing you just mentioned. I was in one of the sessions and they had a spreadsheet for feedback. And the feedback was about how comfortable and confident are you with your second brain? And I thought, I'm 100% confident in my second brain, but nobody puts that, do they? So I put 9 out of 10. I was the only one who was anywhere near 9 out of 10. So the guy went through the list and he said, I would invite, not force anybody, but I'd like to invite anybody who put any, you know, the top one, which was 9. Would you mind opening your microphone and sort of talking about why you feel that you are at that level? And I had nothing prepared at all. That came totally out of the blue. So I said, yeah, fine. So I opened it and started chatting away. People loved it, didn't they? I got such lovely, lovely comments, but I didn't have anything prepared. And maybe that's the better way of doing it, because the more you prepare, the more you think like, oh, I've got to have a strong opening, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. But sometimes it's just better to just be yourself. And obviously this guy couldn't be himself. He didn't end well. So, yeah, we got complaints about that. Poor Mike. Oh, Simon says, that's a right on the buses joke. How old was the guy who says that? If they have the audacity to have a pre-marriage course, he needs to go on the 2-week sexism course. That's the thing. That is the thing. You know, these guys have been on these marriage courses.
1 minute.
And yet that's what they come out with. So what can you do? My word. Right, I think I'm okay. We've got the music sorted, haven't we?
Yeah.
So let's say good evening to you from here. So for the moment, I will say good night from me.
Good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.